Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning, right moment.
Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah. Yo, Mr. Bay, are you with us? Mr. Bay, talk to me.
All right, I guess he's not on. He's probably having some issues, so I guess I could start the show.
Okay. Come on.
I guess we'll start by giving the intro for Chains of Events, an interpretation of news as it affects the minority community from the Alloys of Newark. A report on events in politics, education, law, business, religion, and science. Chains of Events reveals the interpretation of one event to another, and that the listener will know what's happening. Now, coming up, I'll be reading everybody a short excerpt out of an article.
I don't know. It might just be my end, but we have some kind of technical difficulties right now.
Yeah. Can you hear me, Mr. Harris?
Yeah, I got you now. Yes.
Okay. And I can't hear Walter.
Hello? Yes, I'm.
Yeah.
I was muted. Okay.
Okay. Let's try this all over again,
right
from the top. A cornucopia of physics dictates that where there are vibrations, there must be a medium, and all vibrations possess a wave nature. In our community, our art is, in fact, and in spirit, the medium through which our airwaves travel. Where there is no medium, there are no vibrations. Where there is no technology, there is no communication. Good morning, Walter. Can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, everybody. And to start off, I will start off by reading the intro for Diamond. Now, history is like a diamond. Each prism represents the work of a group of people at a particular period of time. Look into the diamond and see the reflections of your past self, the pain of your mother, the choice of your father, and the blood of your ancestors. Look deeply, and you are bound to find yourself. Now, for today's diamond, which we have to, the first one will be no other than Fannie M. Compton, born in 1836 and died in 1913, who was actually born in Washington, D.C. Now, Fannie was born a slave, but an aunt bought her freedom for $125, then sent her to a school in Rhode Island. The thankful young girl never forgot her aunt's generous help. she repaid her by helping others. Fanny became a teacher, was one of the first black women in the United States to receive a college degree. After graduating from Oberlin College in Ohio, she was eager to teach. At first, she taught newly freed slaves how to read and write. In 1865, she was hired to teach at the Institute for Colored Youth in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That school is now called Cheney University of Pennsylvania, and Fanny became the principal there in 1869. Cobbin State College, which is located in Baltimore, Maryland, was named in honor of this former slave who became a dedicated educator. Thank you.
Okay, so what motivated you to choose this particular person?
Fanny Coppin, Coppin State College is where my brother went to college, and I never knew who the person was or what the college was named after. So when I found out that, oh, Fanny Coppin, that's my brother went there, I decided to, you know, to give a little background on that because, you know, I was interested in who the person who actually created or was named after Coppin State, who that person was. Because for a lot of schools, you probably is named after a lot of people, but sometimes you don't know the history of the person. And it's always nice just to find out who it is. So, yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Mr. Harris, are you there?
Yes, I am.
You know, with all of this talk going around the country about taking down the names of statues that represent derogatory things towards the country and people, what's the significance or importance of just knowing the history behind names in general and in schools, statues, et cetera?
Yeah, well, knowing anything gives you a deeper perspective on how you're going to be able to make decisions about things if you understand the landscape that you're working from. Like personally, I graduated from Allen University in Columbia, South Carolina. It was named after Richard Allen, was the guy who started the AME Church in Philadelphia. So it's important to understand the background and the people and stuff that built up certain areas in the black community, and it's also important to understand the kind of structures that were put up to kind of downgrade people of color. Like a lot of these Confederate generals and stuff, and then some of these so-called founding fathers, they were all slaveholders. They really had nothing to hold your hand up to and say, oh, yeah, these are wonderful people. You know, Thomas Jefferson and the Sally Hemings thing, this is starting to come back a little bit, you know, but that wasn't a love affair. She was his slave, and his father did the same thing to her mother. These are the things that once you understand these things, you can consider where people are coming from when they're talking to you.
Okay. Walter? We're going to slide it back to you. Do you have a comment to go with Mr. Harris or continue on with the next segment?
I'll actually continue what he was saying because we were talking about this actually in the classes I was going to be debating about should people keep up statues or should we keep up the Confederate statues around the country. And when I think about keeping or knowing who they are, I believe it's important to know, but I don't think it's important to glorify them and to keep them up at name buildings, still have the names of buildings after them, and also to have statues because, number one, they were traitors. They betrayed the country by going, wanted to be a part of it so they're able to keep slavery, and they wanted to fight against the North to keep that. So they not only did they that, they lost. And it only lasted for about 4 years, a couple years. So there's no importance
to keeping that on the, I guess you could say, the statues or renaming them because they serve no importance. If you think about it, like Hitler and the Nazis, it's illegal to fly Nazi flags and all that around Germany and stuff like that. So it should be illegal to fly Confederate stuff too, because they both have similar paths, even though the Confederacy was they failed, and there's really no reason for them to keep having statues up on them. There should be more statues of people who actually contributed to make a change and to better improve the country. And there's still people out there, I'm pretty sure, that don't have a statue that contributed a lot to the country. So I just believe that, you know, they should start making a change to removing them and to change the names of them, of the statue.
Yeah, well, I would definitely agree with you. Take it for what it's worth, but we live in the United States of amnesia, where it's okay for you to forget, for you not to look into the history and find out what's really going on. It's okay to do that, right? That happened so long ago. We can accept that nowadays. And actually, that's part of the systemic problem that actually perpetuates racism in America today. The fact that nobody wants to, you know, talk about what really happened and the real fact. Mr. Harris, you want to go in there?
What? Yeah, well, I agree with Walter 1,000% on this. You know, because we have to understand that certain things are just to be placed in the focus of history. All right, this happened. It was fine, but I would understand more if these statues was put up right after the Civil War, right after these negative things. But they waited till like 50 years later to put it up in certain areas just as a monument to the folks that was around you, that said, even though we might have lost the war, we still kind of run this show. And, you know, and it's, like you said, it's the United States of amnesia. You know, we are easy to forget, and then we're shocked when the same thing comes back around again. So, yeah, I agree with them wholeheartedly.
All right. Now, Walter, let's move us on.
Yeah, and I guess we could go into our second Diamonds of Today. Now, this is going to be an article, or I should say a chapter out of a book that we started on Wednesday and we analyzed, and now we're going to continue. So we will be continuing with chapter.
Okay, let me remind you, what's the name of the book and the author?
Yes, the name of the book is Freedom in My Heart, and the name of this chapter is We Are the People. So the intro that I came up with this one is, we will be continuing with chapter one, We Are the People. We previously discussed Africa being the place where humans first walked upright, the birthplace of civilization. We also discussed simultaneous and independent innovation and inventions that came from Africa. Now, here we go. We want to start it off. So this process of rediscovery has already begun in the past several decades. For example, some scholars now concur that the Iron Age probably began in the Italian plains of Turkey 6,000 years ago, with the likelihood of an independent origin in Africa. According to archaeological evidence identified during the 1970s, the Haya of northwestern Tanzania knew how to turn raw ore into carbon steel as early as 2,000 years ago. They used deceptively simple tools in combination with a sophisticated preheating process to attain the highest quality steel possible. From this cradle in East Africa, the knowledge of iron smelting quickly spread throughout ancient Africa. By 500 BC, the trade of the blacksmith was found all over Africa, from north to south, from east to west, noted anthropologist Franz Boas. With the simple bellows and a charcoal fire, he reduced the ore that is found in many parts of the continent and forged implements of great usefulness and beauty. Once believed to have first occurred in Asia, the domestication of cattle may have also have African origins. According to an archaeological evidence from 9,000 years old African site, what is now Egypt, including Namba Playa and Bir Kasiba. In the same location, archaeologists have unearthed signs of sorghum grain storage and cultivation 8,000 years ago. Thus, when a person today eats grain cereal, drinks a glass of cow milk, and secures her home with a little steel key before rushing off to work, Africa's legacy is echoed at each step. Above all, Africa is our bloodline, the ancestral homeland of all world's people. If the modern human's family tree is traced back far enough, approximately 60,000 years ago, it leads to one intrepid group of people who walked out of Africa to populate the globe. A worldwide research project conducted by geneticist Spencer Wells and sponsored by the National Geographic Society has fully sustained somewhat more probable that our early progenitors lived on the African continent than elsewhere. While great mammals range from other continents, humans first walked upright, formed societies, raised families, fought, loved, and worshiped on Africa's shores and savannas. As paleontologist Lewis Buckley discovered from the abundant fossil record, Africa was the birthplace of man himself, and for many hundreds of centuries thereafter, Africa was the forefront of all world's progress. And that is the end of my reading. So now to analyze what they're speaking about. It's basically continuing of what we talked about on Wednesday. We talked about how Africa was the first civilization ever in this world, and the first people come from Africa. So people originate from Africa. And we talked about how many inventions and how many creations and jewels are found in Africa, that without that, the world will not be the same. In terms of technology-wise, we won't have, you know, for smartphones, Africa, pieces from Africa are used in iPhones, to power iPhones, cookware, steel, to lock your doors, steel for projects that you need around the house. That came from also Africa, cookware, you know, and also basketry and many other things that are stated here. A lot of them came from Africa. Raw ore, I should also say as well. That came from Africa. So basically what I'm saying is when people get confused about oh, they believe this invention came from here or this originated from here, everything really originated from Africa. It's scientifically proven as well that everything originated in Africa. So I just want people to, or we need to help people understand where we come from and to understand our background. Now I'll pass it on to you if you have any other words.
Yeah, well, I would like for Mr. Harris to pose a question to you, you have opportunity to make a comment as well, Mr. Harris.
One of the questions I had is that when you were researching the history of man, you know, the human, that's when you're talking about Africans coming out of, you know, the original people coming out of Africa and spreading around the world. And I was wondering if you ever considered what was the difference between man
and mankind. Have you ever considered those options?
The difference
or what those words mean?
Not really the difference. I'd like to hear what you have to say about that.
All right, my little slide on it is that man is the original unadulterated African that left the continent and started spreading around the world. And just the word mankind means just that. It's like, it's kind of a man, but it's not the original man. You know, like when the guy went to the moon, when Shepard, or I think it was Shepard, who said, it's a small step for man, but a giant leap for mankind. You know, he was indirectly saying the history of man goes back hundreds of thousands of years. But mankind has just recently started to step up and do things. And like you were saying, a lot of this stuff is reflected on previous history that they learned out of Africa, that knowledge, and expanded on it and built up their own thing. So there's really, that's my separation, is that one is the original and one is, I don't want to say a copy, but it's like, it's kind of like man. It's close, but no cigar, you know, and we have to understand that all things that come from things that we're doing today, everything had an origin. And a lot of stuff that we say are being discovered are actually being rediscovered. You know, just like whenever you hear about people talking about the architecture and stuff like that in Africa and other places that had people of color, everybody assumes that the people of color in those spots didn't have the technology to build those things themselves. So it's always been, well, they must have had some kind of alien intervention that helped them do something. Anything to downplay magnificence of the stuff that we've done in the past just because they can't do it today. And you know, I don't want to keep going off on that because that's like another.
Yeah. Well, that. Well, you know what? I am to substantiate the amnesia, to substantiate the false narrative, to substantiate and dispel the belief that African people had a very integral part in the development of civilization in not just America but throughout this world. Okay, and that'll be my point to add to finish that up. I just had to jump in there. Walter, keep us moving. Yeah, Walter.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah.
Okay. This segment provides the listener with words and their meaning so that we can achieve together a common basis to say we care and we believe in ourselves. Remember, whoever controls our definitions controls us. We must define existence and not have it defined for us. Now, today's definition, it actually is a word that we read in the text today, and the word of today will be concur. Now, the definition of concur is to be of the same opinion or to agree, or to happen or occur at the same time, to concede. Now, you know, I just wanted to give everybody a word that some people might not know, and, you know, we're going to give the definition of concur so that we can agree. So if you're ever trying to get into an agreement with somebody, or you're trying to be, or you're on the same page with somebody, you could use the word concur, because that's what it means. Now, I guess if you want to relate it to today, the word, we're fighting to be that. We're fighting to be in agreement with certain things that we're probably not, because for today, a lot of things that we disagree with, whether it be politically, socially, economically, if we're not on the same page, everybody's not really going to benefit, and it could cause for a lot of problems. So if you want to be in agreement or you want to concur on something, we have to talk about it and we have to find out what's the best method for all of us to benefit, or for most people at least, to benefit from what we're fighting for, either economically, socially, or politically, to constantly make America better. Thank you.
Okay. Hold on, Mr. Harris. I'd like for you to pose a question or make a comment, as usual.
Well, first let me say I concur with everything you said. And, a lot of times we get understanding mixed up with concurrence. I might understand where you're coming from, but that don't mean I agree with you.
Uh-huh.
You know, there are a lot of things that are being said within this day, you know, on media and stuff like that. I understand where a lot of people are coming from. I just don't concur. Because if it's not helping to build right now, if it's not helping to build our community in a positive way, I really can't go for that. You know, so a lot of things we talk about, some of it is academics only, and it has no substantial way of making anything better in our community other than conversation. And those are the things that I really agree with. You know, and I'm glad you brought that word up, because a lot of people use that word in the wrong context. You know, so this is a very good word. It's a very good word. Thank you, Walter.
No problem.
Is there a tie-in for talking about a particular, let's just say, is there a tie-in between doing research and the importance? Is there a tie-in? How would you tie everything together, Walter?
Tie everything together?
For some kind of understanding or meaning. You know, what is the entire point of the show? I mean, you know, what is the point that you wanted to get across for everybody to understand? You know, when we walk away, when we click off, you know, what are we walking away with today?
Well, we're walking away with information and the history that we constantly teach every week. And I guess the problem is, which I was reading today in an article, that we're not in concurrence, or even if that's the word, concurrence, or we don't concur on the same topic of where things originate from or where things come from. There's a lot of different misconceptions about it, but I want people to walk away knowing their worth, knowing how things came to be, and not to be confused on it as it pertains to, you know, the origins of Africa and how much Africa contributes. It's not a place where it's wild and people just run around wild in the jungle. No, it's a place that's innovative, that's always been innovative, and that's helped the world a lot, and people need to start to understand that.
Okay. Last words for you, Mr. Harris. How would you tie everything together from your own perspective?
Like we were talking about today, it, like Walter was saying, there's a lot of information that has to do with our journey through this history and what's being projected out there as our journey. You know, that's why they call it history, like we were saying before. You know, we have to understand that you can't listen to everything everybody else says. Sometimes you have to look it up on yourself, and that's the whole basis of researching it.
Okay. At this point, I'd like to bring in Val. Val, you have a What's Happening for Us, which you posted on one of the social media platforms as pertains to
voting in the state of New Jersey, a compilation and a rendering of a current event, which is government, and that current event is voting for this upcoming election in November. Could you tell us about the opportunity that people have to vote by mail? All right. I know Val is on the line. So I'll just share it with everyone. You have an opportunity to call the Essex County in Essex County, or you have the opportunity to contact the clerk's office and request, and you can do it online, a vote by mail ballot, and you can receive it in the mail. Or you can actually print out the application yourself, and you can mail it. You can do your mail-in vote at least 2 weeks in advance. And the highlight was also to recognize the fact that the post office is under attack, unfortunately, right? So that your vote can be cast in advance. It's actually an opportunity to vote early, even though it's not actually being said that way, right? But you can actually vote in advance this particular year by requesting a ballot, going online. Valerie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, am I saying this right? Casting the vote, going to a website online?
Yes. Hold on just a moment.
Okay. All right. So Val is getting that information, and we're going to share it with everybody. And just let us know when you're ready. And it's an opportunity to vote, early voting, in fact. You know, and everyone should participate in the process of voting. We have too many people who sacrifice their lives. That's all right.
Right. I just want to read it specific as how it was sent to me so nothing is missed. But it says, if you chose to vote by absentee ballot, you must request and fill out an application for an absentee ballot. Once the county clerk's office receives your request, starting in September, they will mail you your absentee ballot in essence without this being officially called early voting. It is early voting. To download the application, which means it is online, for an absentee ballot, you go to EssexClerk.com. Look for the word forms. Click on forms. Scroll down until you see mail-in ballot. Click on the ENG. This will open up the application request for an absentee ballot. Now you can print it. Please seal your ballot well and take to the post office early, like 2 weeks before the election. Please remember, let's all do our part.
Okay. All right. So that's good. That's good information to have. So that we can get out there and do our civic duty, okay? And so with that being said, while we were unable and, you know, we're not actually trying to solve all the problems of the world. But one of the things that we are trying to do is to bring to surface the research and the understanding and the significance of our people, right? As a Quest Moment, And as a moment, you know, as we say hi and bye to our friends and neighbors, one of the last things that each and every one of us have now adapted into our consciousness are the two words, stay safe. And it's because of a pandemic. And the conversation was, well, you know, black people in America have been in a pandemic before the pandemic. We've been suffering already. And now it's been compounded with a virus. So we ask that everyone stay safe, stay informed, do your research, and by all means, enjoy each and every moment, each and every quest moment of your life. And that's a wrap for today. Walter, any last words on your end?
Everybody out there, stay safe. Make sure you tune in Wednesday at 6:30 for another show, man.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you, Mr. Harris. Thank you, Val. Excellent job by our student host, Walter Pierce. And I want to thank those people that are on the line just supporting and listening in. Thank you very much. And something that a lot of people won't tell you all the time, but I love you, and there's not a thing you can do about it. Thank you very much, and peace. Quest Youth Radio is the best.
The best youth radio.